The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon, man. How's it going? How's life?
It's going really well, you know. We definitely haven't had this discussion before today.
This is take two due to some technical difficulties, which is not cool. Just going to be quite honest with everyone. But it's okay. We're going to be talking about
have had these difficulties if we had an M4 MacBook Pro.
Ah, that's a great segue into what our main topic is. And it's an interesting thing that's happened over the last week, because I would probably say that this hasn't really happened in quite a long time. And that's not leaks and rumors. I mean, obviously we've been doing this for 20 plus years, not necessarily you and I, but we as a collective for Mac Rumors has been doing this for so long. Products get leaked. That's not the thing that's interesting here. It's the fact that multiple people in Russia have actually gotten their hands on what seems to be very legitimate M4 base model MacBook Pros that have not come out yet. And yes, there are product dupes. Really hard to dupe a MacBook that looks and runs macOS, like incredibly hard. And so we're pretty confident that this is legit. And so we've actually learned quite a few new things about, we didn't learn, but we confirmed all of the rumors and leaks that we have heard about the new M4 MacBook Pro, at least the base model. And so we'll talk about that. And I want to get your thoughts on is this a bad thing? I mean, it's obviously a bad thing for Apple, but like, how does this even happen? Let's start with that. Like, how does something like this even happen? This is, again, the last time we have had full leak of a product was, you know, at least the last major time was that time that somebody left an iPhone 4 prototype at the bar and then sold it to Gizmodo and they did this whole thing on it. There was that one time, which I forgot about, but remember the iPhone 10 and the engineer? This is not the same thing, because this is somebody that's affiliated with Apple. This is like, but the M4 MacBook Pro, when that was leaked just now, this is just a YouTuber who bought it. And, you know, they're not affiliated with Apple in any way. But the iPhone 10, there was an engineer who had the iPhone 10. I believe they worked on the Apple Pay portion of that phone. And they let their daughter, for some reason, just like vlog the day that they spent at Apple Park and like vlog the new phone before the phone was out. And unfortunately, you don't remember this? Oh yeah, no. This was, I mean, it's been some time now. It's about, we're approaching 7 years. They literally, you can still find the video too if you guys want to look it up. But this engineer, I feel really bad for him. I'm not sure what he was thinking, in the sense that you let your daughter, I mean, you obviously know how Apple operates and how secretive everything is. And then you're just like going out in Cafe Max and using Apple Pay and testing it out. That's perfectly fine. But having your daughter vlog it and then upload it on a YouTube channel, not okay. Mm-hmm. And she showcased like the new design. Obviously, we've never seen this before in person. Somebody else that's not, you know, on stage. And like, yeah, obviously that video blew up and then that person got fired. So that sucks. It's not funny, but it's just what happens. So this is what we're saying with this is like, this person can't get fired. I don't know what repercussions they could have, but how does something like this happen, Hartley? What do you think?
Well, I think the first thing that makes this a little bit unique in the history of Apple leaks is that this is multiple units. It's a batch of units, which is also what I think adds some credence to its legitimacy. So what it looks like has happened here is that these machines have been stocked in a warehouse in China, and a batch of them have been stolen, have made their way to Russia, where they have gone gone on sale online on online Russian retailers, kind of the equivalent of eBay over there. And various YouTubers have picked them up because they are being sold for a high price, like the equivalent of about $7,500. So it is really only content creators that would be interested in sort of this sort of oddity, because in a few weeks that's going to be worth basically nothing.
That can't be. I mean, I need to go back and check this one video that we saw, you know, where they did the full unboxing. There's no way they're making that much money back to get to recoup the costs. If this was an iPhone, I feel like that would blow up quite a bit. But a spec bump in theory, MacBook. I mean, well, I know there's
the whole tech community talking.
Sure.
It can bring a lot of visibility. And also, it's just kind of a fun idea. I mean, how often does this happen? I don't think that this has ever really happened, that devices have actually, multiple devices have been stolen before that product has even been announced. We've had stuff emerge from warehouses early after announcement. We've had the odd instance, say, of something shipping out a few days before and a customer receiving it 24 hours early, that kind of thing. But I don't know if we have ever had multiple machines being fully unboxed, tested. They're running benchmarks on the machine, and it hasn't even been announced, and probably still won't be announced for another 2 weeks.
Well, and it's also like confirming, you know, the 25. That's how we can also test the legitimacy here, is like the performance of it is pretty much on par with what we saw with the M4 iPad Pro, and it should be relatively the same here.
Yes, because it's the same chip.
Yeah.
So about 25% faster, which is considerable.
So wait a minute. I'm looking this up here. First off, you said it, the whole tech community, so it should bring some visibility. That channel, the Wilsacom channel that I saw it on, they have 11.5 million subscribers, so I don't know that they need visibility. However, they only had 577,000 views on this. That seems kind of weak to me. I mean, in 3 days, that's great, but not for a channel that has 11.5 million views and a first look almost 1 month early product, you know, so I don't know. I don't know if that's an interest thing or what, but yeah, so we did learn some things, which is nice. And
we did learn some things. So we know the M4 chip is basically a known quantity here. This was performing as we expected, but there are a few details that are seemingly confirming existing rumors or contributing something new. So the first of those is 16 gigabytes of memory, which looks like that is now standard. So right now, and for many years, the Mac has come as standard on base models with 8 gigabytes of memory, which has been a source of contention for a long time. And it was rumored a few months ago that Apple would finally be moving up to 16 gigabytes, maybe because of Apple Intelligence, maybe it's just the right time to do it. The other thing is an additional Thunderbolt port, because right now, if you go and buy the standard M3 MacBook Pro, it has one less USB-C port than if you bought an M3 Pro or M3 Max model. So it looks like now there will be parity across the lineup. And the last thing is that Space Black is available on that base model. Right now, it is only Space Gray and Silver. And then if you want to get that Space Black color option, you have to step up to one of the higher end models. So I think those are relatively notable differences.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Mando. I recently got recommended a new line of deodorant from a friend. Yes, a friend and I actually discussed deodorants, and Mando was the one that they were using. And so I decided I wanted to give it a shot, and I have been doing that over the last week. And this stuff has done a way better job at keeping every area of my body smelling great and fresh for longer periods throughout the day. That's right. It's not just for pits, but it can be used everywhere with its whole body formula. I personally love the deo stick and the deodorant wipes for on-the-go travel. I think it just makes it so much easier to kind of get freshened up a little bit throughout the day. But Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's actually clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone, which is absolutely wild to hear. 12 hours after a shower, the average man's grundle odor level was a 5 out of 10. With Mando, the average odor level is a 0 out of 10. Mando Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It's what I've been using over the last few weeks. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, the cream tube, two free products of your choice like mini body wash, and I recommend the deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked to my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers will get $5 off of a starter pack with our exclusive code, and that equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code MAC at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. That's code MAC at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. Yeah, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, I think this is like, if you're teetering that line where an M4, whenever that comes out, MacBook Air is just not enough power for you, or you want something a little bit more and you want to get up into, I mean, it's going to be the same, amount of power and efficiency or whatever for the most part. But if you need a little bit more, AKA more ports, better screen, I just think this is the one to recommend. I would almost say, like, if you're going to get 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of storage or more in an Air, and you were configuring it that way, don't do that and just get this MacBook Pro. I think you'll be much more delighted with that purchase option than what
the display makes a big difference.
The display really does. And honestly, for me personally, having an SD card slot is huge, because I've often taken my Air on trips and then I have forgotten.
Even HDMI for a lot of average users is quite useful. If you were a college or university and you need to hook up to a projector or some other screen to, you know, play a presentation or something, that is a quite a useful port to have, probably more useful than the SD card slot.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the way to go. And personally, I just think that you'll be much more happy with your purchase and it'll last you a little bit longer. But 25%, I mean, I don't think we realize this, or at least I didn't realize this. That's a huge improvement 1 year later. And like, yeah, we already knew that with the M4 iPad Pro, but like I didn't really think about that in terms of how that was going to be with a Mac. And then you think about it and you just like confirmed, oh yeah, it's 25. That's a huge gain year over year. Like Apple can't possibly sustain this every year, which is a good segue in itself that might not be Apple's plan anyways. I think we got a report from Gurman recently that said they're going to be shifting to 2-year product cycles. Now, is that every product, obviously, aside from an iPhone, or is that just like this Mac and iPad stuff?
So this is just sort of, it's Gurman musing on what Apple looks to be doing. And Apple Intelligence is a sign of this, where they are basically waiting until it is ready and they are rolling it out slowly. Another example is the Apple Watch SE, which previously has come out a 2-year increment. So the second generation model came out exactly 2 years after the first. We were kind of expecting the third generation Apple Watch SE to come like clockwork last month, 2 years after the second gen. But that also hasn't happened. The Apple Watch Ultra is another example of this, where we were expecting there to be an Apple Watch Ultra 3. But again, Apple has not done that. And in some respects has left the Apple Watch Ultra without a few features that the Series 10 has. So it does look like, other than the iPhone, they are allowing in both software and hardware a few things to start just sort of running on that little bit longer in their upgrade cycle until things are ready, which personally I don't mind. I would far rather wait for longer and have a more meaningful upgrade than to get constant refreshes that don't add a whole lot. Now, I will say, in terms of my personal opinion, I think it varies. Because if you have a faster chip ready to go, like with these M4s, then I'm all too happy for you to drop the faster chip in so that anyone that is buying that today, even if I'm not, gets the fastest possible chip.
Right.
I think where I object to it is in how it is marketed and presented. And I think that is why we sometimes get a little bit fatigued in the tech community when Apple is telling us, look at this radical new design or this incredible new machine.
Yeah.
And it is basically just a tiny update. And I know that they're not looking to do this with the iPhone, but I really did feel this with the iPhone 16 Pro models and how they've been presented. Apple literally said, Greg Joswiak stood on stage and said, this is a stunning new design. Now, I don't know about you, but what is new in this design?
The desert. You don't even have the desert. You, a couple weeks ago when we first got that phone, you didn't even know which one was which. You had your iPhone 15 and your iPhone 16.
Yeah, so I've got both here. So I've got both right in front of me. And I cannot see what is different with the design. This is larger a tiny bit, but I wouldn't say it's a different design. It's just a millimeter or so bigger. The bezels are fractionally smaller.
There's a new button there.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd call that a new design.
No.
So my point is that ultimately that doesn't really matter.
No.
But I guess my point is that when Apple presents something for marketing purposes as radically different, when in reality it isn't, it can be a little bit frustrating. And I think that it builds this culture, not just among the tech community, but also I think in a lot of average consumers that maybe do have a passing interest in these things. A lot of people that talk to me about these things because they know I'm interested in it say, oh, well, you know, I was kind of interested in the iPhone 16, but it's just the same as last year's model. And if that is a consequence of having annual updates, whereas I'm sure we would agree that where Apple has sometimes waited longer to do things, a little bit like with the M4 iPad Pro models, none of us were saying that was a minor upgrade. I mean, it's not a product that sells fantastically well, we learned this week, but I think we were all pretty happy with that because it felt quite different. I think that it is okay to wait a little bit longer for some of these things. And I think that they will be better received by both the tech community and reviewers, but also average consumers when there is a little bit more meat to those upgrades.
I think it's a little bit more of a mixed bag for me because as a content creator and for you, I guess, if we're getting some of these things not every year, then, you know, we have those pockets of time where we're like, we got nothing, then that makes that pocket even more. We've got no content. We've got nothing new to talk about. So like for me, I'm like, yeah, give me all the products you've got. So I've got stuff to do, but also is the interest level even there for that? So am I just doing work just to do work?
That's what I'd question.
It's the hard,
I think that if upgrades are small and often, it means that our audience disengages from it somewhat because if they go into an Apple event thinking, okay, this is going to be small, this is going to be a small upgrade, it's nowhere near as exciting as if we have had 2 years of rumors about the device and how different is it going to be? What wild features are going to be implemented? What little extra features have we not seen coming? And I think that the longer you go without an upgrade, the more exciting that can be. Because there is just more rumored for it. I mean, to come back to these MacBook Pro models, these are coming a year after the last ones. We are not expecting very much different with these at all. It is basically just a chip refresh, which, as I say, I'm okay with. But it is all a question of how it is positioned. And if this is all Apple does with the MacBook Pro for years, it is no wonder that the tech community and average consumers don't really see it as an exciting product release, which is why that scary fast event last October felt a bit weird because it was a whole event for just the most minor upgrades that you could possibly imagine, even more minor than the M4. There really was nothing other than that space black color option and just whatever it was, a 20% increase, smaller than the improvement that we're going to get with the M4. And then obviously the jump from the M1 to the M3 on the iMac. But it was very small. I think that it is better. I think it is better for Apple culturally to leave things a little bit longer, and also until they're ready, because I don't know what your perception of this is either, but I feel like Apple has been rushing to get stuff out over the past few years. And I don't think it has been working fantastically well. I feel like, I wouldn't say there have been dud products, but it feels like there has been a lot more that is unfinished. iOS 18, for example, with Apple Intelligence, it's missing. The first version of iOS 18 is missing a whole bunch of stuff that is coming in 0.1 and 0.2. I would say the AirPods Max, as we often talk about, feels like a pretty unfinished product that was rushed out the door. Vision Pro didn't have any content really available for it upon launch. And it is only now really that that is starting to happen. But I'd still question how ready that product really is for prime time.
I do think every company goes through this, though. I mean, look at Samsung. I just reviewed, shameless plug here. Yesterday, we put out a video on the Samsung Galaxy Tab S10 Ultra. It's pretty much the same as the S9. The only major features was the inclusion of Galaxy AI features in it. And that's software, man. That's software. And I don't know... See, now, a lot of what Samsung has been doing has been putting some of those Galaxy AI features in its flagships, but they have rolled back for a year or two for compatibility. The only thing with this one is that they changed the chip inside to one that they said played better with the AI features. So they went away from Qualcomm Snapdragon, which was kind of controversial in itself, but they said, hey, that didn't do very well with these AI features that we're rolling out. We wanted to put it on here, so we switched the chip. So I don't know if the S9, the Tab S9 Ultra from last year, is going to get those AI features. But if it did, there's no reason, in my opinion, why you should go out and buy the new one at all. And so that does remind me a little bit of like, an, you know, Apple getting to that point where they're like, we're just kind of doing a chip bump and that's pretty much it. So other companies are going through that. It's very stagnant out there because we as a culture have progressed so quickly and we're always pushing it out, pushing out new stuff. There's only so much we can do, to the point where I think we're starting to hit a little bit of a block and a limit here. And now it's all these software features. They focus on hardware for so many years, and now hardware is like, we're at its peak right now. So what can we do? And it's all these AI features.
I think that the difference is that Apple used to be really good at this. And I feel like Apple generally used to wait a lot more until products were ready. Whereas now I think there is this pressure to have a fairly fast turnover of new products, but also to present those new products as completely new. I think the best example of this actually is how the iPhone initially was positioned with S years. So
yeah.
The understanding of that was a refinement of that existing device. So the iPhone 5S is a refinement of the iPhone 5 because it's now got Touch ID, it's got a better camera, and it's got a 64-bit processor, but it is still an iPhone 5. The difference now is that Apple says to you, the iPhone 16 is completely different to the iPhone 15. And that just isn't true, because years ago, even the iPhone 6S was more different to the iPhone 6 than the 16 is to the 15.
Yeah.
And I think years ago, Apple was more comfortable with presenting iterative upgrades as what they are. And now they're quite uncomfortable doing that. I mean, look at something like what's happened with the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch really does not need annual upgrades. The upgrades that we've had, say, the Series 8 over the Series 7, what did that have? Basically just body temperature detection. What did the Series 9 have over that? It had a double tap.
Before we get into the rest of this episode, I do want to take a quick minute to talk about today's sponsor, Notion. There are tons of AI tools out there these days, but I feel like none of them are truly useful or help boost productivity. Now, Notion and its Notion AI, however, that is something I use constantly to just get stuff done. Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects into one space that's simple and beautifully designed. And the Notion AI has the capabilities of multiple AI tools built in, which means you can search, generate, analyze, and chat all inside of one application. I use Notion on a daily basis for writing scripts, managing tasks across various team members, podcast planning, and so much more, which means I use Notion's suite of AI features on the daily basis too. Nothing beats having the ability to quickly improve your writing and improve spelling and grammar with AI just built into the app in a matter of seconds. Notion AI is connected to multiple knowledge sources. It uses AI knowledge from GPT-4 and Claude to chat with you about any topic. It can search across thousands of Notion docs in seconds to quickly answer any question. And with AI connectors, which is in beta, Notion AI can search across Slack discussions, Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides, which to me is just way more helpful. And even more tools like GitHub and Jira are coming soon. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/MacRumors. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/MacRumors, to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. That's notion.com/MacRumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode. Listen, I'm going to say something. These last few years of the Apple Watch has been really bad. Like, from a, the watches themselves are fine. Don't get me wrong. I don't want that to be misconstrued. They're really good products if you are not looking at it year over year. But the advancement in technology, the advancement in features, year over year since the 6 was a really good one because that's when blood oxygen and everything came in, right?
Yeah.
Was that the first year? Yeah. So since then, there really hasn't been a reason for me to be like, oh yeah, you should totally ditch this watch. And like, you could definitely go 3 to 4 years with the watch.
But I think that it is also, it's interesting because it's a perception thing as well. And I think this is where Apple hurts itself. Because if they had done the Apple Watch on 2 year cycles, and we imagine that there had been a jump, say, instead of the Series 6 to Series 7, it had been the Series 6 to Series 8.
Yeah.
And at that point, you were getting two new health features, as well as the new design. I think that people's perception of these things would be slightly different.
I agree.
And I hope that is what they are doing with the Apple Watch Ultra now, and that they are slowing down. The same goes with the Apple Watch SE. I don't think that people really see their Apple Watch as a device that needs to be replaced every year or even every 2 years. Definitely people hang on to their Apple Watch longer than their iPhone. And I think that's why Apple's maybe more comfortable slowing that down a little bit.
They're certainly slowing down the AirPods Max, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even know what's going on with that.
We should at some point talk through the AirPods Max again. In light of this upgrade, because I am pretty convinced that the AirPods Max are, I think they're a disastrous product in a lot of ways. I mean, I will say I've been using mine a lot more lately as my AirPods Pro have been misbehaving. I've felt like I've had to lean on them more. So it's made me go back to them as well. But I just think they are such a poorly conceived and designed device that, again, it suggests to me that I think that Apple is in a really interesting place right now, overall, because some of its product lines, I think, are in such a good place, and some of its products are so good. I think the Mac right now, every Mac line is basically a perfect machine. I have no complaints about really anything that is going on with the Mac. Okay, we're going to rectify this 8 gigabytes of memory minimum, but in terms of the hardware that we're getting here, I think these machines are perfect. I think also an underrated one would be the iPad Pro. I think the iPad right now is, I know we complain about the lineup being big and confusing, but I think the fact that you can get a really cheap 10th gen iPad that is a great device for kids and for education, but then you've got this showcase of hardware in this really thin machine at the high end, and ultimately I just use that for content consumption and listening to some music and stuff, and I love it for what it is. I think that those things are in a good place. The AirPods and AirPods Pro are in a good place, but I think Vision Pro, I think AirPods Max, and I also now think the iPhone is sort of getting there, where I think, what is going on here?
They can't take the iPhone. They can't do the iPhone every 2 years. That's not going to happen. As long as every other company is pushing out every year, they're not going to do that.
The camera control has disturbed me.
You really hate it that much?
I don't hate it, but I'm really concerned by why they've done this. Because it feels like they have put a feature on all four models without, A, them being ready. They don't have the software fully ready. And they do not feel fully thought through. In every review I have seen, even with professional photographers right down to people that are just average users, this has not been a popular thing. The amount of people that have come up to me, my friends and family that have tried it out on my iPhone 16 Pro, every single one has said to me, "Oh, I don't like that. That's really slow." Every single one. Not one person that I have tried this with has said to me in the real world, which ranges from like my grandmother all the way through to friends of mine that are younger than I am. Yeah. All of them don't like it. And they have added this to all four models. Now, how that happens, I don't know. Because I think that years ago, Apple treated the iPhone like this really precious thing that you don't mess around with. And this feels like a weird Android feature from like 2015 that was put on for 1 year and then taken off. And I don't think they will take it off, but
no,
it's just such a weird and poorly conceived feature to me.
Also because, and again, this is software based and it could just be done without camera control as a whole, but the visual intelligence feature, why announce that? And then it's just not ready. And we don't know when we're going to get that. Who knows when that's going to drop? Oh man, this did it again. Remember this? Let's see if I can get it. Hold on. For those watching or listening, I've gone dark.
Well, while you do that, I'll have my mini rant about Apple Intelligence.
Okay.
So I also think that what's happened with Apple Intelligence is very un-Apple-like. For years, people said that Apple Intelligence, Apple always waited longer than the competition to bring out a more perfect version of something. So people said this about foldables, that Apple is waiting until there are no problems with foldables before they proceed with that. People have said that about smartwatches as well, and plenty of things over the years that Apple moves into a space when something is ready. It's really clear that that hasn't happened with AI. And I think that to sell the iPhone 16 lineup as AI devices when the AI is not ready, and actually, if we're being honest with ourselves, the significant AI features like the new version of Siri are not coming out well into next year. And by the time Apple Intelligence is getting a little bit more mature, the iPhone 17 lineup will be out. And this device will be discontinued by then.
Yeah.
So all right. I find that disingenuous. So I guess what I'm saying here with my little rant and going back to the whole thing of upgrade cycles is, yes, I feel like Apple in certain product lines, in isolated instances, is losing its way a little bit. And I have felt this. This is the first time I'm really feeling like this. And I think that if they move to longer upgrade cycles, that can only be a good thing and can only help to start protecting the brand a little bit and building some more enthusiasm and making things a little bit more meaningful for the community and people like us that, you know, ultimately love what the company does.
With that said, great rant, by the way. With that said, bringing it all back together, do you think we'll get an October event?
yes, I because, think we will.
Okay, you think we will. And I know that, I mean, I'm still there too, but I'm a little curious. Does this like massive leak change Apple's plans? Because now we have reports that it's November 1st, that these items are going to be, you know, out in people's hands. But when's the event going to happen? Because we're approaching what? It's October 10th. Those invites need to go out this Monday or Tuesday, or I don't know that there's going to be an event in my eyes, but we'll see.
It's got to be next week if they are sending invites out, but I'm trying to remember what happened with the Scary Fast event last October. I seem to remember that they only They only actually sent out the invites for that 1 week before the event, and I believe that event took place 1 week before those products shipped, or it was within the same week. So it was on a more protracted time period.
They also did invite a lot of people to it.
No, it was mainly an online event, and it was held at this bizarre hour as well. But the reason why I think there will be an event is because the Scary Fast event last year was basically just for two products, the MacBook Pro and the iMac. This year, there is far more. We are expecting both of those machines to be refreshed, which is a total of, strictly speaking, that is six different devices, because you've got the M4 MacBook Pro 14-inch, the M4 Pro 14-inch, the M4 Max 14-inch, then you've got the M4 Pro 16-inch, the M4 Max 16-inch, and then the M4 iMac. So that is six Macs. Then you have got two new redesigned Mac mini models, both with M4 and M4 Pro. So that puts us on eight. And then we are expecting a new iPad mini as well.
iPads.
So that is, strictly speaking,
no iPad 11th gen
models. Now, well, we were expecting that for a while, but that hasn't been rumored recently. So I don't know.
Very well could.
I'd like to see it.
That'd be a great thing right before the holidays.
I think it is time. I think it is time to give that maybe an A15, but then I wonder, maybe Apple is holding off till next year and they'll give it something like an A18 next year, and then it will have Apple Intelligence. Yeah. And they're going to wait until they do it for the iPad lineup as a whole.
So real quick,
refresh that all simultaneously.
Just to go back and not be all doomed. No, not again. All right, whatever. This is the end of the episode anyway, so you're just going to have to listen to me coming from a black box. But real quick, just to clarify for people listening or watching, not to get all doomsday on me with the events, because I love events, so I want them to happen. Two things. Maybe it doesn't have to be announced next week, because looking back, it looked like the Scary Fast from last year was announced on October 24th, and the event happened on the 30th. So I guess they could technically just do this in 1 week in advance, like you said. Actually, it was only 6 days, but 1 week in advance, like you said. The other thing is, if this happens, great, whatever, I don't care, end of the month, please don't do this at night again.
Yes,
for
please.
Your sake, for please. Your sake especially, but for me and just everyone else, I just don't think it has the same, like, doesn't have the same feeling as an event. An event needs to be 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Pacific, just every time in my eyes.
I don't think they would do it again at that hour, because I think last year it was so short because there was basically nothing to announce. This year, if they are showing off a redesigned Mac Mini as well also as a refreshed iPad Mini,
yeah,
that is in addition to everything they showed last year. So surely it's got to be a longer event.
No, I mean, they could technically just
be earlier.
They could just technically run through those things pretty quickly if they wanted to. Okay, well, let's hope. Fingers crossed. I want to go back.
It's just wishful thinking, because I really don't want another event at like 1 a.m. in the morning or whatever it was last year.
Especially for you. But then for like the entirety of the team, somewhat during the working hours would be fantastic.
Also, you know, tech community aside, plenty of ordinary people still like to watch the Apple event. They are basically big marketing shows, which they live stream because ordinary people like to watch them. Before I worked at Mac Rumors, I watched them. So plenty of ordinary people do watch them. So putting it on for 1 a.m. for everyone in Europe is not much fun. And while they may be enthusiastic enough to watch an Apple event when it is at my time zone at 6 p.m., 1 a.m. in the morning is a little bit different. And people are not going to make that effort when they've got work the next day.
Also, you know, I'm not saying that, I don't know what the correlation of extreme Apple fans that are watching the event to sports fans are, but that's Monday Night Football right at the exact time. Most
that's
people,
sacrilege.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to guess that there's probably less sports fans and tech fans. I'm just guessing those two don't merge, but there are people there. I am one of them, and I know many others that also like both. But I'm just saying, from the general perspective, like 8 o'clock, 8:15, which is when the game starts on Mondays, usually here in the U.S., what's being taken up on my timeline is all whatever's happening in that game. It's the only game that goes on. most shows, most other things that premiere on primetime on Mondays know not to mess with that time slot because this is football season and it's just a big thing here. So that would be like putting it during the same time as like a World Cup game for you guys out there. Like, I just think that that would be absurd and no one would watch that because they'd be watching the World Cup. Now, this happens every Monday, so it's not quite as, you know, exclusive, but you get my point. Like, there's only one of these a week, and that is the time where people mostly watch that. But again, I don't know what the crossover is. But for me personally, I was streaming the event and the game at the same time. It's like, whatever, this is what I'm going to be doing. So yeah, I also just don't want to work at 9 o'clock at night. So let's not do that. And you don't want to work at one in the morning.
Yes.
Please, all right.
Please know.
Let us know what your thoughts are on the leaks, the massive leaks where multiple people just have product in their hand. $7,000 is absurd, by the way. I would not have purchased as a creator. If that came across our desk and people were like, do you want to buy this and show it off? I don't think we would get the money back on that.
But also, like, you're buying something that you know has been stolen. And, you know,
yeah, that's, well, that's also pretty
when
illegal.
Yeah, like, and it's one thing. It's one thing when it is a rumor and we are, you know, talking and discussing something that is, you know, information that ultimately has come from someone at Apple that is enthusiastic about the thing that they have built or
and that's
made.
That's not illegal on our end, by the way.
No, but yeah. Also, I feel like that's coming from a good place. I feel like buying stolen goods that have been smuggled into Russia from China
not a good idea.
Isn't something you should be doing.
No. So if you're thinking about it, don't do that. I'm pointing
by the real thing in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, yeah
it'll be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I'm pointing my finger at the screen and nobody can see me. All right, we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.